So two schools of thought exist, the greater and the lesser mysteries. You stay with me?
Yeah. All right.
Here we go. The greater mysteries teach as Yeshua, Isa, Jesus, Sananda, Tammuz, whatever name you want to give them, whatever culture you get, that your path is back to the bosom of the Father. He says it. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but by me. That he was merely the chauffeur to the Father. You follow that? But then he said, I am the Father all one. When you see me, you see the Father. And I am not greater than you. And you'll even do greater wonders than I.
Right.
And I got to go prepare a place for you that where I may be, you may. So certain men, or women, and or women, are destined for a journey from here back to the bosom of the Most High. And certain men and or women are destined to stay here and worship. Some beings are perfecting themselves to become God, and other beings will always worship God. People of the lesser mysteries are the religious people. They worship God in spirit and in truth, away from themselves. People of the greater mysteries are like the uncut stone that's on that side, Ashla, that becomes cut to become a perfect stone, become a part of the building blocks of the Most High. You with me? Some of you here are of the lesser mysteries, and some of you here are the higher mysteries. But the sad thing of it is, do you want the truth or you want me to play the game with anybody else?
Come on with it.
I'm saying that because sometimes when you tell the truth, it's bitter to people. And they get mad at you. They don't really want to hear the whole truth. They want to hear what the man puts in books. And they got, they're real good at referring to white man books. And quoting his books against anything a newbie has to say. But I'll take you directly to the language so you can see it, so we can dispel this part of the spell right now.
Come on with it.
You with me?
Come on with it.
The unification is here. The power to bring all those forces, all those incarnations into one being to come back out and solve the problem, whether you accept me or not. And as I watch with a keen eye at all the teachings out there, I wait to hear that something new or that something special that would let me know that another God had incarnated. I want to hear things that would cue in that he is not or she is not trapped in the mind tetrahedron of persons, places, and things. He's thinking outside of that realm, which would tell me he's a visitor, not a resident. He would do it a little differently. You understand me? I'll do it piece by piece. So this has got to go as old information. The unification is here. The power to bring all those forces, all those incarnations into one being to come back out and solve the problem.
I'm all your frogs out here. I just heard one.
Yeah, who was the name of Bob and Rob?
What?
Moon.
You see?
Yeah, that's right. Now, move back the other way.
Move back the other way, I'm on.
Move, I am. Move back the other way. I'm moving it to the right now. Move to the right. Move to the right. Move to the right. Yeah. Move to the right. Yeah. Now, move to the left.
Move to the left now.
Move in the name of the Messiah. Yeah. Move. Move in the name of the Messiah. In the name of the Master of the Heavens and the
Earth. He see it moving. It's just like, wow.
To all of you all that are observant, I know you know this is a very significant and a meaningful time. Certainly. For the world in general and for all of us in particular. A lot of people try to
ignore or pretend like there are not drastic changes happening. But those of you that are spiritually sensitive and keenly aware know that indeed things are changing and changing rapidly, very fast. And for some, that's a very wonderful news, Mr. Nabai. Supreme news. But for others, it's tragic. But nonetheless, it's unfolding, it's happening. It's happening in your lives. Everybody here, you asked to be here at this particular time and in this particular space for your own particular reasons. You wanted to be on the precipice. You wanted to be on the edge. You wanted a front row seat to watch this transformation, to participate in it. And you got your wish. Just make sure that you make that journey within and wake up on the right side of the ignorant pole, because that was a long time. All right, who was that first spiritual experience that they'd like to share with us?
It's hard.
All right, I love you, son.
Yeah, when I was driving for Uber or whatever, and I had this white lady in my car. She was in the back seat, and it sounded like she said something clear as day to me. And when I turned around, she wasn't even talking. And when I turned around, she felt I looked at her like she had, she said something to me, and she was looking at me confused. And I was like, so I just turned back around. But I heard clear as day, I thought she said something. I guess it was her thoughts.
It was.
That's what happened to me.
It's her thoughts, and what's happening is I hear them all the time. I hear and see things inadvertently. It'll just come through. I could be talking with a person or thinking about a person if I'm walking or whatever I'm doing, and suddenly I get scenes, sights and sounds, you know, about what it is that they're thinking and doing. You know, especially if it's in regards to my association with them or their association with the creator inside of them, which is basically the same thing. So as you start going further and further through these spiritual packages, a lot of you will start realizing that even though it may be faster for some than it is for others, that it's a gradual process that you're starting to elevate and your consciousness is expanding. You're becoming more and more aware and sensitive to your surroundings. You're going to elevate to a point to where that, in other words, let me say, at some level of consciousness, is nothing that any of you don't know. All of you know everything. You know what the percentages of gases are in the atmosphere, what the bacteria and viral count is. You know what's under the paint on the wall. You know everything. But you're not conscious of it because you've directed your focus towards your physical vessel, and you created this mind-body consciousness that is kind of like putting a genie in a bottle so that you convinced yourself primarily that the only reality, the way that you sense reality, is through your five physical senses, through see, hear, feel, smell, taste, and touch, your physical senses. And that's the way that you perceive your reality. So that's why you hear unbelievers or the physical beings or those that will be left behind frequently say things like, I don't believe in nothing, I can't see, hear, feel, smell, taste, or touch. You heard that sentiment before, or you felt that coming from them. Here they go with that spiritual. Here they go right now with that. Look, I'll be back when you get ready to come back down to earth and make some sense. I don't believe in all that spookism and this, that, the other. These people are a sad group, and they indeed cut themselves off from the great new wonderful, the reality that they themselves are this creator that they're in search of. That's the greatest love of all. And for those of you that are waking up gradually, sometimes others faster than others, your blessing is that now you're beginning to have inadvertently random access to your four higher senses. You know, your clairvoyance, intuition, psychometry, telepathy, etc. In other words, you're transforming back into gods and goddesses. So that now you're aware of things. Right, we're back, goddess. Now you're aware of things that the average mortal is not aware of that are going on all the time. And your capabilities are beginning to shift. So now that many of you right now with me are capable of doing things that the average mortal just simply cannot conceive, let alone do. Just one example of which is moving stars, A lot of you have moved into an area of a vibration where that you become godlike in attributes, like I said, to where that you can not just look at and adore, but move stars. So these are sure signs that you're beginning to transform. And believe me, that is the purpose of the whole mission. For those of you that just arrived or those of you that have been here 40 years, you came with the same idea in mind, you came for the same purpose, because this mission, it gave you the hope of transformation, of revelation, of growth, or to reconnect. You came with the hope of being able to become in direct contact with the divine. And that was your reason to be here. So, you know, it's very sad. I'm very sad when I find people lose track of their reason for being here. And they get so involved in the mission or doing the mission and memorizing this and learning that and contributing to this, donating to that, you know, and, you know, that they forget what the primary mission is, the primary focus of the mission. Let me recall, bring it to your mind again, the reason that we are gathered here, the primary mission, and the reason that you came, again, is because you said somehow that there was hope. Unlike in religious schools that you've been through, Islam and Christianity, ad infinitum, that you would come in touch with the divine, that you would somehow be made better or perfected or whole, or you would reunite or make your union with the Most High again. You came here with aspirations of heaven and contemplating ways to escape everybody's most dreadful fear, hell. And now, a lot of times people have gotten so hung up in memorizing the books and memorizing the languages and memorizing this and donating to that and this cause and this school of thinking and this clique and this group and, you know, until they've got hopelessly lost in the frivolities of this. And it's just become another religion to them, you see. And they're stagnant. There's no growth. They're not moving forward or upward at all. And they're basically in the same place that they were when they first came. But even in a worse position, because now they've even forgotten why they're here. But when they initially came, they had an idea about why they were coming in. Again, refresh you, they were coming in because they felt something different that gave them hope of reconnection with the divine and themselves. That's what they felt. And, you know, but they found out that as days and years and months passed by, it was something similar to the thing about the horse that they have with the buggies, where they have the stick on it with the carrot dangling from it in front of the horse, and the horse day in and day out trots all day long, you know, for the taxi driver, trying to, with his vision, with blinders on, you know, so he can't look to the left or right, but he can only see the carrot dangling in front of him, and he's trotting, or she's trotting every day, he's sweating, and with froth foam coming out their mouth, and, you know, working themselves to death, trying to get a hold of this carrot. And they don't realize that the way that it's set up, that the faster they run, the further away they get from it. It's like the moon, the super moon. It seems like it makes us childlike, like we can almost reach out and touch it until we try and find out how far away it really is. And until you are blessed to have reached a state of consciousness and divine love inside yourself, where indeed the Creator searches the reins of the hearts of the people and finds something worthy in you, worthy enough to put you in touch with His Messiah, so that not only can you look at the moon, but you can ask me to move it to the left or right, up and down in circles or whatever that you want, or even the furthest stars. So you see, there is hope. There is hope. But there's hope and change. You can't stagnate. And my heart wants to send out a special of prayer and thank you. And let's all bless Zakiya with all of our heart for being steadfast. And the list could go on. I don't want to start calling names. because it would take up a lot of time. But you all know who you are, and it was a heartfelt whisper, and I was compelled to do it. But know that I love you all, and as much as you love the Creator, and as much as you love the truth, you see, and as much as you effort, you know, to whom much is given, much is required, I know. And don't you forget it. Remember that love is an action. It's a verb. But you all, you have to know that you've been selected. You've been chosen out of billions and billions of people on the earth to come in contact with the divine, which is a strong signal to you, or should be, that there's something divine in you. There's something about you that makes you different, that you stand out from the rest of the multitudes on the planet Earth. Because you indeed are a small group, bigger than the group of the people that want to arc with Noah, and those of you that are working hard day and night along with me to bring souls to the truth and to salvation are raising the numbers. And not just hopefully, but of an assurity, we will reach 144,000. Because that's his word, may he be exalted. And I want to thank you all that are participating and helping me to achieve, helping us to achieve that most noble of goals. But again, you got to remember that you went through all those schools. Some of you went through Christianity, others through Buddhism. Some of you, like myself included, have gone through one of the most difficult schools, the school of life. And you had a lot of hard lessons, and as a result, the residual still follows you today. Now, I'd like to talk about that for a minute. Let's visit that. In becoming masters and in transforming, one of the most important things that you have to not only learn but initiate or put to practice is the reality that God never looks back. God doesn't live in the past, and God doesn't live in the future. For God now is the only reality. Now, that being said, you may ask, well, Brother Amun, why is that so important? Well, if you think about it, all of your pain and all of your suffering, all of your tragedy and bad experiences, they're rooted in your past. Rooted in your past. And it's those of you that live in the past that keep giving life to that misery. If you want to know the truth and free yourself from that wretched, horrible state and the things that happened to you and the things that were denied you and how you felt you were treated unfairly and the times that life kicked you in the teeth, well, think like a god. It's a matter of perception. And realize that the only reality is now. Again, if I ask you to pick your hand up yesterday or 10 years ago, you can't do that. And if I ask you to lift up your hand tomorrow, today, you can't do that. But if I ask you to lift your hands up right now, all of you can do that. What does that tell us? That tells us that the only power that we have, effective power, is when. It's right now. Look around you and enjoy the moment. Feel the moment. Enjoy life. Get involved in life. Have the self-realization and take pride in the fact that out of all the places you could be and all the things you could be thinking and pursuing, that you made a conscious decision that you wanted to be here on this vibration in this room with us at this time, the gathering of the elite few, the 144,000. And for that, those of you that can reach, pat yourselves on the back, because it's more than a mild accomplishment. It's significant indeed, and you'll find it to be the gemstone of your life. All right. I love you all, so let's get started with that first question, please. Okay.
Well, someone I know had a question about his mission, about where we going to go, and what happens if we have children now. Would those children have time to be able to raise up and come with us?
Yes. It's one thing that you have to remember, you're dealing with a fair, more than fair creator. And that all children automatically are entered into the kingdom of heaven because they're pure in heart. And they haven't had a time to assimilate into the world and learn the wiles of Satan, you know what I mean, to make their souls toxic. That's why it's stated in all scriptures that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to indeed become again as little children. Doesn't mean that you go back up into the womb where you start using lollipops again or playing with dolls. It means that you become pure in heart like a child and innocent again like a child and not worldly and conniving and deceitful in your pursuits. Are you right? And also that of the very old. A lot of people don't realize. They think of old age as some kind of a punishment or, you know, something unfair or a tragedy, and when in reality it's the greatest blessing. Because old age is a gift not given to many by the Most High. And what this gift affords you is protection and freedom and an open invitation to heaven and out of hell. Because you do become again, like old people become childlike again. It gives them a chance to burn out the rank battle, the desire that's inside of them, and become pure again as little children. You know, if you want the truth, you know, old people and children will say anything to you. Lady, why are you so fat and you stink? You know, and they don't mean, and you can look in their eyes and they're not trying, that's an honest question. You know what I mean? They're not trying to be offensive, you know. But now I'll tell you, the greatest danger is to die at the height of your sinful
and mischief-making career. To die then is a time to die in danger. I'm compelled to enlighten you that I am your salvation. I am your Savior. All of your scriptures say that I come to you offering life abundantly, life eternal. But what's most sad and shocking to me is that your leadership, all of them know exactly who I am and that I'm back and I'm back for you. And they keep you in the dark daily about it. I am a product of nature, a very rare occurrence. Happens only once every 25,000 years. Look around you, from politics to weather. This thing is folding up like a lawn chair. The fallen, like vampires, just feeding on your dying carcasses daily, and many times being supported by the caucasus in high places, who doesn't need your money, but work 24/7, harder than the Russians did for Trump, to keep you in a state of confusion and misdirection so that you will not support your one and only true helper in these end times, created for you specifically, the 144,000, by nature's call. Did you hear me? Nature created and sent me to you. But the fallen's response is keep a lid on it, while they communicate with you openly every day, knowing that not man, angel, or even God, but nature itself heard your personal cries. They went up to heaven and they were heard by Faout, those of you that are truthful of heart. You better wake up right now and turn around and start sending your support to me and us right now. Let us work together for your salvation that has been well earned. Oh yes, I know, because I spent more years and money than any 100 of you collected. If eternal life and paradise is your true destiny, then you better email me or contact me right now. Orion9@windstream.net, O-R-I-O-N number 9 at W-I-N-D-S-T-R-E-A-M.net. Hurry, I'm here but for a short while. Your donation's not going to the master teacher. It's not enough candy bars and machine for that. Wake up. Pay attention. They'll come up with some very elaborate lie to discredit this message like a desperate pimp. Miss this promise, prophesized train, and you'll have forever to regret. I love you. We are one.
Brother Amon, this is Ma'at Rehat. I'm calling to tell you that I know it's been you all the time, okay? And you're going to have to realize that this is different sensations and it's a different expression. So, I know that it's okay for you to record me because I know you record. And you have the master teacher's best interest at heart, and I appreciate you.
Now here's just one perfect example of a pure soul that feels spiritually trapped by the machinations of the fallen. Wake up. There are many that not only have personally witnessed these miracles, but are learning from me personally every day while they keep their hand in your pocket and hands over your eyes.
Stop.
Go on the side now. You want me to try? You want me to do some more?
No, it's okay. He's seen it.
Thousands of Nawabians have borne witness to my return. Your problem is the righteous have been cowarded down and the fallen are working to make sure they keep a lid on it. You better follow the advice of Partner Babianoon and don't believe any of them. Check it out for yourself. Your very soul is up for grabs. If you don't care about yourself, think about your children. I swear to you, Jamal, this level of hypnotic mind control invokes images of Jim Jones. I've been in the trenches fighting against incredible odds just for you. I'm here with you. Be here with me. And to the fallen, I still love you. We are all one divine love. But your rule is up. And of course we're going to free Partner Babianoon. He and I are one. We're counterparts. Listen to Ma'at True Justice 724-13 affirmation. Everybody has a counterpart. Whenever he flares up with angioedema, so do I at the same instant. Follow? Everybody, revisit the little 19-minute short video piece, Let My Words Be Known, all the words of Pana Babianoon.
I am in danger because your soul indeed is in jeopardy of going to hell.
A message to the fallen. If you don't believe me, ask Pana Babianoon. He's said it on many occasions. I, Amun Ray, am the only one to have the power to save anyone, including the cockatoo. Be not deceived, beloved. Help me to help you. Our Creator is ever watchful, knowing, and merciful. Though your sins be as red as scarlet, come home.
Don't revile the Father for becoming old. It's a precious gift. And I think it's, to me, one even better than the youthful. Because all the young look forward to growing up and going into that mischief-making time. But the old have had the pleasure of being young and then going through that middle range as well and then having a chance to cool out.
Being blessed to have their cake and eat it too.
Okay.
Also, where are we going? After, you know, some of the 144,000 come down and fill up new that jazz it.
How
we help those that are left over.
Our destination is to make it into the future while we live in the present. You see, you let the future come to you. Because most people are tragically being left behind, Harv. They're not going to make it into the great new wonderful. Because of mind-body consciousness, they've been trapped. They've been allured into the physical world. In other words, all of their hopes and all their aspirations are in their possessions and in their physical form and their romantic associations or their children or their jobs or their money or their love for the world. You follow me? And this is the anchor that weighs them down to the ground and will not allow them to raise up. So they're hopelessly trapped. And they will be left behind so that when the civil cord is cut, there'll be disembodied souls that tragically walk up and down the physical plane in a spiritual form, unable to participate for the lack of a physical body. That is the perfect definition of hell. Now, for those of you that are striving to be in the 144,000, what it is that what you're headed for, again, is a wonderful future. What you're headed for is evolution, a great unfolding, becoming aware of the reality of who and what you really are. At the core of you, all of you are this God, the Creator, the Most High, the Controller, the Benefactor, the Provider, this divine love. All of you are merely expressions of that. And the more that you grow and the more conscious you become of it and the more we remove the scales from your eyes. And the better that you can see with your mind's eye the truth of everything and the fountainhead, the progenerator, the place that everything comes from, to whom all praise is worthy, the creator, the source, Farouk Kaloum. What you're headed for, Ahar, is a place that's commonly defined as heaven. A place where that when you reach inside and you turn yourself inside out in your perspective of who and what you are and stop thinking of yourself as a physical being that possesses a spirit and a soul and an etheric and a conscious aspect of yourself as some vague peripheral illusory part of you that's not really you, but you call on it and use it every day in the same way that you get in a discussion with yourself about something, and the person next to you said, who are you talking to? And you say, well, I'm talking to myself, I'm sorry, excuse me. Or I'm thinking out loud, and you use different expressions like that. You follow what I'm saying? Or the one that's looking when you still close your eyes. The God inside the temple, again, that you have to envision as not a church or a building down a synagogue, but the temple is the place on the side of your head next to your ears, and your eyes are windows to the soul. That inborn spirit, the truth of you. When you reconnect with the reality of that is me, and the body and the world and everything around it is the illusion. It's an illusion that I'm projecting, that's the lie. That is not really me. Because if you don't, you know, you'll invest, you know, and place your money on the wrong horse. You'll invest all of your energy and your resources into the illusion. And then you'll have beautiful homes and stacks of money, and you'll be muscles and handsome with, you know, suits and cars and powerful in relationships. But inside, there'll be darkness. And you'll be withering, your spirit on the vine, dying, and in some cases, worm-filled, without light, devoid of divine love, empty inside. So that you create the situation many times that you have the tears of a clown. The tears of the clown are sometimes, to me, the most dreadful and painful of tears. Because while this clown has a smile painted on his or her face, they're dying inside. Because when they may shine to you on the outside in their life and their beautiful cars and in all the people quiet and the cheers of the crowds, they're alone and they're crippled and they're wounded and they're hurting and they're empty inside. Because you see, you as divine beings, regardless of how much praise you receive from people, how much you accumulate in the form of money and power and position and notoriety, how much you work to perfect your outer shell, your physical being, and to develop your concept of life in heaven here on earth with the white picket fence and two children and a dog named Rex or whatever your vision is. You follow what I'm saying? If you neglect your spirit, and you don't feed and nurture it and achieve the realization that indeed is really you, that is the real you and the only thing that's real and the only thing that's relevant, and you get trapped into the illusion, you get trapped under the spell of this projection that spirit is, which is, this is only an illusion being projected from the higher self, from the real you. When you get so involved in that you think that is you, and the inner being is the illusion, then that constitutes a situation where you have people that appear outwardly successful, like Beyonce and what is the guy that got more lips than Higgins got ships, with the real big soup coolers. Yeah, Jay-Z, the one with the soup coolers, the big inner tube lips. Not you know, every man and woman wants to be in somewhere. A lot of, not every, but many of them think that's a definition of success, and that if they were them, they would have everything. Well, it's true, they do have everything, but they have everything that's nothing. You follow what I'm saying? The truth. Because they've lost themselves. They've given them, so what would it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world and to lose their soul? You follow what I'm saying? So where you're headed for is that journey within her, to reconnect with the divine inside of you. What you're headed for is the greatest love of all. You want to reconnect with the fountainhead of creation, the creator of it, and become one with the one that goes out and gives the blessings. You want to become the one that can confidently and truthfully say, when you see me, you see the Father. Now, and I'll tell you all something, that for those of you that have a Bible or a scripture, look this up. It is a scripture that goes something like this. Whosoever shall believe in him, the Son of God, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that's the truth, because he's the one that lights your way like a lamp to the path that leads you to the Most High, and that's to help you to come out of her.
Of course, my beloved sister, that would be John 3:16. For God so loved the world as to give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone that believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life in paradise. And that's his words. May he be exalted.
And I have been indeed sent to you as a mercy from the Most High to show you in the form of wonders and in answering your questions, and for many of you all that are receiving healings and blessings in your life. You know, people can see, and even you can see, that your hand is being touched by the hand of the Creator, that there's light and love and blessings in your life, and you're being changed in a wonderful way. You just have to make sure that that change is including the inner you, the real you, and don't neglect your spirits at all. Are you following me? Now, specifically for the 144,000, they'll be raised up, and just if you go to the last page of the Holy Tablets, you see an illustration by Panabab Yanun, where that you have Akhman and Muhammad standing there, which are the same one. Rahubat, Akhman in birth, Muhammad in prophecy, and Mahmud in the end, or the three Mims. These three fellows are what you call collectively the life giver, Al-Hayu. And there's a tunnel, a vortex going up from the head of Muhammad to the crystal city, surrounded by angels. And flying up that tube, you see 144,000 brothers and sisters gowned in white. And they're ascending up to the crystal city, symbolically there, to be taught by 24 elders for 1,000 years, which is one day to the Lord. And when they are taught and raised and resurrected with resurrection knowledge, then they'll return to themselves into the world and begin to enlighten and teach others and go forth and drop their nets and become fishers of men, like many of you now are beginning to do. Many of you now are becoming that lighthouse, that Pharaoh, and are reaching out and are actively working in the pursuit of saving other souls. Well, even without the full knowledge of that, whenever you lead people in heaven, you have to remember who gets there first. And that's where we're headed, Har. Is that clear? If not, ask it another way.
As always, sir.
All right.
John 3:15, and it reads, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Yes. That's
exactly
true. I love you. Yeah. Because there'll be many that don't believe. You know, and regardless of what I do, I heard Malachi say one time, what does a man have to do to prove his divinity? Do I have to move stars? What do I have to do? Heal the sick? But let me tell you, it was the Creator himself that said that this world had become so backwards and so lost and gone so astray that if the very Creator was to bring down the heaven in layers, these fools would call it nothing but piled up clouds. And how do you know who you are? Well, look into your heart, because there are many thousands of people that have witnessed me performing these miracles and doing these things, and so they know exactly who I am. But they're so wrapped up in the world that they have such a great fear of being ostracized and what other people are think, that even though they witness these things, They're ashamed and afraid to bear witness to these things, not knowing that whoever denies me, that I too in turn will deny them before my Father and his angels. That's his word, may he be exalted. So know, before the third cock of the crow, that when you deny me, you're denying yourself. All right, what is that next question?
I was thinking along the terms of reincarnation.
Yes.
Earlier today. And my question, well, in regards to what you told us about each of us having 24,000 lives.
Up to.
As taught by the angel sent to you to prepare you for my arrival.
My question is, are we a reincarnation of each other from way back then?
No, well, reincarnation, it would mean carnation. Carnal is the root of the word reincarnation, which means to reappear carnally in the same, very same body, so that the Zakiya that you see in the mirror would have been the one that you would have saw in the mirror in your previous existence, and that's not the case. What you're talking about is a transmuting or evoluting spirit or soul or inner being. The real you that goes tab-dack, plane to plane, a life after death. Because, you know, in a medical field, you know, when a person reaches a certain point and they get that last breath out and the silver cord is loose and the doctor checks her pulse and her breathing, and he said, well, they cover up and they said, well, she's gone now. You have to remember that the body still remains.
For those of you that are paying attention, yes, remains, left behind, and all that went with it.
So that these people invest in and think that that's the best of them, and that what they glorify and worship and cling to and praise, that will be left behind. But indeed, the only thing that's permitted to leave and go further and keep on and have a future is the real them.
That can and will reproduce another form in another reality of their choosing for those that make it. Now that's God, Star Mover. That's God.
The part of her that they said, well, she is gone now. That means she's left that illusion and gone on to a long home, on to another experience, if she's blessed or he's blessed, to another reality. So that what's inside of you, Zakiya, has come and reappeared and re-personified in many different forms. And the best evidences of that would be if you refer to the holy tablets, the pure pages, that you see that Melchizedek himself,
and of course myself, your Messiah, your final spiritual guide for this day and time,
which is a title, as the angel Michael is the one that's the spiritual host that sits next to the Creator and is sent down indeed to occupy the shell of that being that manifests in many different physical appearances. That all through the holy tablets, especially if you check chapter 6, that at the time of near and moving forward and backward, that you'll find that every time that Melchizedek comes, he has a different physical body, a carnal body. But that the message, the light message, is the same from the Creator. It's just that the message evolves with the people. And that Melchizedek, whenever his title is achieved, is the angel Michael, is the angel Michael that has been sent here over the ages in every geographical time, place, and location to raise you up and help to prepare you for the arrival of the final Messiah, the Son of God. That means that the Creator will take his ruach, his own soul, his breath, and blow it into a physical house. We call it Jerusalem. It means the house of flesh. That he'll blow his ruach, his soul, into the body of a human man here to walk on earth with you and be your God. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, that be you.
Yes. And the evidence of that is through my works. Not any elaborate speeches, you know, I wasn't even sent with a doctrine, but I'm here to justify and bring it to light and prove all that was said before me, because you make no distinction between any of his messages or his scriptures, because they all from the same source, if they be truly from him. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm here to be the capstone to finalize it, the final messenger. So I'm not saying that the Creator himself is personified inside of a man. That's a ridiculous concept. But he did send his Ruach, his soul, his essence down into a physical form. And astrologers and those that are aware, whether they're negative or positive, they know how to watch the conjunction of the stars and indeed the planetary alignments to mark the arrival of that being in flesh, and they know exactly where he is and what he's doing. What's unfortunate is that all these negative beings like the government and the CIA and NASA, they know who I am, where I'm at. They know everything about me. But I came to my own. And my own refused. I was hated and reviled by my own. I came to my own and they knew me not. I was in the world and the world knew me not.
Yeah,
those that are so lost that they, like I say, they witness me doing things like moving stars and this and that and the other, but they refuse to bear witness to what they witness, because you see, their real allegiance is to the fallen, even though they're not aware of it. You see, if they had an allegiance to the Most High, then they would not only witness it, but bear witness to it, so that they could encourage the, that's like saying to the other 144,000, come on, y'all, it's real. But they know who they are, they know that they wasn't sent here for that. And I have to inform you today that you won't be a part of that, unless you change and become one with us. All right, next question. And you all get your holy tablets that have some, because I'm going to share some things with you all out of those pure pages that I think are necessary for us at this time. Go ahead.
Bless your soul, Sister Khufu.
I'm with you.
And I'm with you too.
I love you.
I love you more. I always did. I didn't just love you this time. I always did.
Yeah, I always loved you too.
That's right.
We gotta get this thing done, believe it or not.
No, I do believe it. I know it. It's a fact, star mover. You move stars, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And there are people around you, I guarantee you, that you move stars, and they deny it. They won't believe it. They won't bear witness to it. And those that do know it's true, underneath, they're angry with you because they're jealous, because they can love you for who you are, Khufu. They can love you for who you are and still hate you for what they're not. When you're moving stars, I know what direction you're moving in. Thank you, Goddess. Next, please. Who has that next question?
Yes, Brother Moon. This is Escherette in Florida. I was wondering, you were talking about a couple classes ago about when you can move stars, you can move anything else. Well, I have been practicing, and I kind of was practicing with, you know, trying to move my bathroom door and make it, you know, close a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, but I can't make anything else move.
And yes, well, you see, that block is inside of you. Are you following what I'm saying? It's just that we become, let me explain, we become so involved in the world and the illusion that it's become like our reality. Now, for those of you that can move stars, it's because you know, you don't just believe it, but you know it's possible. And how do you all know that it's possible to move stars?
Because you did it.
Because I did it, and I showed you. And I showed you. But I haven't shown you. But I haven't shown you how to move bathroom doors or how to do these other things. You see? So that what you have to do is take and learn a lesson from the scriptures. Well, that there was a woman, again, that suffered from an issue of blood for over 7 years, and she was weak and she was dying. And when she heard the Messiah was coming to town, and she managed to crawl up out of her bed on all fours and crawl through the throngs of people to try to reach out with her trembling, weak, dying hand, because she knew, she didn't just believe, but she knew inside if she could just but touch the hem of his garment as he passed by, that she would indeed be made whole. And she managed to reach out with a trembling hand, and just as he passed by, she did manage to touch the hem of his garment. And in that instant, the blood flow cut off, and she was made whole, and she was healthy and sound again, and she stood up vibrant and glowing. And Jesus turned to his disciples and asked, who was it that touched me? And before they could respond, the woman raised her hand and said, it was I who touched you, Master. Because I knew that in the instant that I touched the hem of your garment, that I would be made whole again. And Jesus answered her and said, then woman, by your own faith may you be made whole. Again, this God that you're searching for is indeed your own higher self. But people need a placebo. They need a sounding board. They need an intercessor inside of their mind. They need somebody to show them and lead them out of the darkness of the physical illusion back into the spiritual light again. You hear me?
Right.
Sure.
They need proof. And everything that I prove to you, then you know it's possible, you can do. But you're going to reach a place in evolution that you're going to really indeed know that that capability is within you. If you line yourself up with the Most High again, and you bring truth to the prophecy that Jesus gave years ago when he said that one day man will do greater things than I. Okay. But a lot of people, they ostracize me, and they ask, I see him on the internet and Facebook, and say, well, why does he move stars? And that's not in line with nature. Why does he move the stars? And is he the Messiah? I don't know. Do you think he is? And is he? Why does he have to do that and move stars? What's the point of that? This, that? Well, I mean, every messenger before me, they all perform miracles, whether they walked on water or parted the Red Sea or gave life to those that had passed away and died or fed the multitudes. And the reason they performed miracles was not to show off, but to show people that the things that were possible. When they, to back up statements like, said I not unto thee that ye are gods and all of you are children of the Most High. So he had to give people examples. In other words, Simon Peter would have never tried to get up out of that boat on the Sea of Galilee and walk on that water if indeed he didn't have the visible, living, true example of Jesus walking from the shore of Galilee on that water toward that boat. That's what his inspiration was. When he declared, Master, bid ye me to come out onto the waves, it was because he saw Jesus move him first. That's why I do it. And that's why the beautiful of soul and the pure of heart bear witness to it constantly, as much as I do it. They bear witness to it with a joyful heart. Because with divine love, they want to see their brothers and sisters aspire to their greatness, their greatest potential, and transform into gods. But others, they think it's all about them. And they're content to try to me. I saw it. I want to be me. And that's the very block right there that'll block them from the greatest love of all.
Now, you all know that at least 40% of you all with me are moving stars and shifting the blue light body, etc. But those beings there never will. Those that attempt to bury the truth of the Creator in a grave or tomb. By their very silence that speaks much louder than any words ever could. I'm not here to magnify or propagate the truth. Further, their silence shouts, I am not a child of God. Romans 7 and 8.
Okay.
I love you. Next question.
Brother Moon, I would just like to thank you because I have been having some really strange dreams, and the one that I do recall, you was in it, and you was telling me that everything is going to be all right.
Yes.
And I want to thank you for that.
Well, I love you.
Because I've been connecting with you in my dreams.
Yes.
And which is, because, you know, I guess dreams is another reality.
It is.
And you've been there twice, and I really want to thank you for that.
I love you. I was there for a reason, believe me. I was there for a reason.
And also, Brother Amo, I want to piggyback her statement.
Mm-hmm.
I told you before that all day long I can hear, you know, from time to time, I can hear you call my name in my head or in a space around my head. And then for a time, I wasn't hearing you do that. But now lately, I've been hearing you call my name again.
Yes. I have a divine love for you as a kid, so you have a firm place.
Yes.
All right. Next question.
Brother Lord.
Yes.
Well, everybody, this is Kaheem.
Hey, I have a firm love for you. You have a firm place, son.
Yeah, well, who back, brother?
That's a good soul right there, y'all. That's a pure soul. I love that soul right there. Go ahead.
I wanted to mention something based off what the brother said at the beginning of class about telepathy. Because for me, what I've noticed in my experience is instead of hearing, you know, people's thoughts, it seems like people can hear me when I think. Like there'll be times when I'll be thinking something and people around me say, what'd you say? You said something? You know, and it happens notably often.
Yes. Yes.
Just wanted to share that.
Well, as you all know, I constantly make mind links with you all, and sometimes I even share it by finishing your sentences.
Well, that means that your magnitude is growing. It's when I make statements like to those of you that are transforming, even if you're in the midst of 1,000 people, they're among you. You follow me? Because you're developing something called a Mashi power, that your thoughts become things. They have power. There's power in substance and thought. Are you following me? That's why it's important to have a pure heart and mind your mind for the jewels of your soul. Mind your mind for the jewels of your soul, because
it's essential that you make that journey within and relink with the divine at your highest.
There are beings out there that are mentally powerful that project negative and toxic thoughts into the body Christ.
Do a computer search on archons. Archons.
You got to have a balance struck when beings like you all, with that positive energy and that positive thinking and that truthful and pure heart. And I love you all.
Brother, I am at that point where I hear also through veils. You know, I be sitting some time, and I'm totally isolated, and I just hear conversations. You know,
yeah.
From other people, and sometimes I recognize their voice, sometimes I don't. And my blue light body is like coming right on online.
I love it.
Because, like, I can see my hand disappear. See something disappear and come right back right quick, you know.
Yes.
And you start paying attention to it. So I thank you for that.
I will, you know, thank the Most High. You know, it's a sign of your evolution. It's a sign of your transformation that you are indeed becoming masters. You see, and when people say, I have brothers and sisters call me and they say, well, you know, my body, my hand disappeared, or Darius Palmer, or Marquita Love, or the kid, you know, many of you tell me, well, you know, I was doing this or that, and my body disappeared, or my arm disappeared, or Susie Campbell, you know, and I saw a blue light, like this or that, or it just disappeared.
Like many of you that have observed me moving the moon always describe a blue haze around it, for example. That means that I'm moving in the spiritual plane, realm. It's ridiculous to imagine or suppose that a mortal physical man can move the moon or stars of the universe, or the many, many, many of you disciples with me now that are achieving the same results and doing these things on a daily basis.
Well, the reality of it is that your hand or your body's not disappearing at all. What's happening is that the true you is reappearing and the veil is lifting. The reverse is true. That's why you have to turn yourself inside out in your perspective of who and what you are. You are an enigma. Again, your body is an illusion. It's just a projection, a hologram that's being created like a television program from the real you. And when your hand disappears, it means that the God in you is reappearing and that you're indeed remembering the reality. That your hand and everything around you is indeed a hologram, a matrix that is the illusion. But unfortunately, it has an undertow and a pull, and many will get trapped and left behind in that illusion. And so when that woman body dies or ages or is challenged by malady or illness, then that means that she'll suffer with it or go into the grave with it, because she'll cling to it or he'll cling to it, and they won't be able to let go. Donald Trump gonna try to stay with his billions.
That ironically, he spent his life cheating and stealing and conniving to gain, and now it'll be too old to enjoy. I marvel at the hand of the Most High. Keep your eye on Russia, and I'm also heating up the sun, and the weather's going to be terrible. And that's just the beginning of sorrows. These are all signs of my return.
It's sad. Look, let me read something to you all. So don't be disheartened about tests that we might have on Earth. If you got holy tablets, go to chapter 15. That Achmed descended from. So as when it says that Achmed and Amun are the same one, you can see that that's also a fact.
Simply by before reading chapter 15 to Christians, go to chapter 19, tablet 5, those of Amun-Ra.
In a tribalistic sense. Okay. And that heritage goes on because Achmed being the great-grandfather of Malachi upon the Babianun is also, this ring that I bear, the signet ring that he gave me, or gave back to me, is really the ring of Achmed from old. And when it was his time to rule and do what he did, he also possessed the ring of Solomon and the staff of Moses, who again, my good brother Moses is back, and I anticipate his return to me, that we can walk together side by side. All right, so I hope that inspired some questions. And I love all of you that were patient with me to come out during the four-day that the super moon was out. And I was blessed by the Ruach, the soul of the Most High, Sheol, Anu, Elion, Elion, El, and Heyu, the life giver, Fahu, to be given the authority to move the heavens for you all in that evident way. And a special blessing to all of you that not only witnessed, but bore witness to cheerfully, to that wonderful and marvelous experience, because every time that I do it, it gives me chills like it does all of you that move stars on a daily basis. I'm here with you.
I'm a person.
Okay.
You were saying that, well, first of all, the Bible says that he lived to be 33 years old. So how was Yeshua when he left Earth?
120. See, according to the Bible, Anno Domini, that means that he was born one year after his death, if you do the math.
Well, actually, after he finished his seven tests, he ascended up to the Great Pyramid on top, and there he gave up the ghost in a natural way at the age of 120, the age prescribed by the Most High in the scripture of natural causes of heart failure. And that's on that spot right there, when you triangulate it with a line from each corner across, that's what they get the term X marks the spot from.
The reason they created that lie was to create the illusion or impression that they were more powerful than God, because they indeed could kill his son, regardless of the thing about they gave you a bonus that he came back and rose from the dead, 72 or 73 days later and all of this. You know what I mean? The fact is that they're trying to imply to you that they, and your sisters as a child revolted against that. When you first heard that Jesus was the actual son of the Creator, you thought to yourself, now, if I had a son, I wouldn't let anybody, if I was the Almighty, kill him. And you were right about that. So to thine own self be true. Neither would the Creator do let his own son be sacrificed, nor is it fair in the mind of the practical reality of anybody that has legitimacy or truth in their heart, that you know that no bearer of a sin can bear another's sin. No bearer of a burden can bear another's burden. I'm saying, sister, that it ain't possible for the woman next door to you to go out and commit a murder and for them to come and then give you a lethal injection and thereby purify her. We both know that's not the heart of the Creator, is it?
Heck no.
That ain't all done. Now, what they're trying to say, that this man died for everybody else's sin, and they achieved a couple of devilish things by that. You know, they convinced you that they were more powerful than God because they could kill him. You know what I mean? And they convinced you that he was reduced to a man because only a man can die a star mover. But now you got a man walking on water and raising the dead, but he can be killed. This is ridiculous. And, well, I'm just saying, you know, it's just a concept. It's just foolish, you know.
Even if a God appear to die in earthly terms, speak not of my followers as dead, for they live, but you perceive not. He or she will simply be taken up in a whirlwind. No death. And woe on the perpetrators upon that return.
And they convinced you the most horrific travesty was that they convinced you that he died for all of your sins, which gave you license to go out and do anything that you wanted to do, because that no matter what you do, that you're going to make it to heaven because Jesus already died for your sins. You know, so if you are Catholic, for example, you could go out and eat a baby, you know, and then go to Father Flanagan, the child molester, and then pull back the wooden thing there, and then he would give you 100 Hail Marys because Mary was the mother of God. Now, that's blasphemy. How is the mother of God, stop it. So the Creator got a mom and daddy, stop it. You know, so go say 100 Hail Marys and then you're forgiven. And then if you go and eat another baby, well, you just got to come back and catch Father Flanagan when he's not drunk, smoking, and gambling and molesting little boys to give you, you know, another 150 Hail Marys to repeat, and you'd be absolved. Now, how is another man just like you going to be on the other side of a wooden booth and then act as intercessor between the Creator and give you absolution or absolve you from sin by telling you to recite a certain phrase, you know, 100 Hail Marys? Now, anybody believes in that is foolish enough to go out into the forest and cut down trees, hewn with their hands, and build a wooden cross and take plaster of Paris and shape and form an idolatrous Jesus and paint it up and then tie it to those hewn logs and then erect it in the ground, and after they make that with their hands, then fall down on the ground and prostrate and worship that as if it's their maker, and know damn well they just made it. If they fall down and they sink to a level like that, then for them there is no return. And whether the flee, there is no refuge. The world is round, baby. The faster you run, the sooner you end up where you started. No, there is no refuge except in the name of the Most High. Truth and divine love is the only key that will unlock this prison of flesh. Go ahead.
Will we be given those same 7 tests?
You're being tested all the time. You may not be given, everybody's not going to reach the level of all of those tests, no. But you will be tested.
Yeah.
You'll be tested and shaken violently, just like those before you. Some of you, to whom much is given, much is required, and I don't mean necessarily in your financial possessions or your children or your fame, but some of you have been given powerful spirits and soaring souls and a lot of great, you know, inner attributes, etheric attributes, and you'll be tested and shaken more violently than those that are weaker in those areas. So you'll be challenged and you'll be tempted and you'll be tried. peace, you follow me.
Okay.
But you will emerge victorious. Sometimes, just like in the case of Job, the devil will touch your flesh. You'll be ridden with disease, and you'll go through suffering physically and this and that and the other. But those of you that are true and steadfast and hold to the end and never revile or curse the name of the Most High and always respect and revere the Most High will ascend back out of it more perfected and beautiful than ever, with 10 times more than it is that you thought you lost, you gain.
Brother, how
can
you atone for our sins?
How can you atone for your sins? The way you atone for your sins, son, is very easily. I was speaking to somebody last night, and you can find for somebody to search this out in the Bible or the scripture, King James, where it says that even though your sins are red as scarlet, they can be forgiven, made white as snow. Again, King James, somebody look it out. Even if your sins are red or scarlet. Now, the way that you can be atoned is to first and most and foremost stop. Whenever you lost and don't know which way to go, turn right. I don't mean as opposed to left. I mean as opposed to wrong. When you turn right, that is your direction out of hell and into heaven. And when you turn right, keep going right. Don't look back. There's a pillow of salt waiting for you. Don't look back, and don't ever return to it again like a dog to his own vomit.
Mm-hmm.
Pray to the Most High for forgiveness. Acknowledge that you were wrong, and you wronged your own soul and the soul of others. And beg with humility for forgiveness and strength from the Most High, that your spirit be quickened. That's what you do, and you beg for forgiveness. And the Most High will make your sins, even though they were red as scarlet, as white as snow. So when you have suffering in your body, it's no sign that the Most High doesn't love you. Indeed, it's the reverse. It's a sign that he does. And that there are things about you that you had to be humbled, like me. I had to be hurt and experience a lot of pain. More pain than maybe any 10 or 20 of you all. Now, I know a lot of you saying, how do you know that? You don't know what I've been through. Well, I mean, believe me, I know that. I had to experience more pain than all of you, and the reason why is because I have to deal with all of you and be able to relate to all of you. And I can't help you get out of a hell that I've never experienced. It's silly. It's like crackheads, a couple going to a person that was licensed to
rehabilitate them.
And they go into the office, and the woman is asking them various questions and this, that, and the other, and the sister's looking around at all these plaques from all these accredited universities and the schools and all these degrees and different things on the wall, and it's so impressive in there and the surroundings. It feels so smart. But then she just asked her a real question, have you ever been smoked crack, this brilliant person says, well, no, I've never experienced it before. And then she turned to her boyfriend and said, well, wait a minute. Now, you in here trying to tell us how to get off crack, but you ain't never been on it. wait a minute, let me get this straight. You read it in the book, lady. You're right in the book. So let me get this straight. Now you Jesus, and you sit there to be our Savior, and you gonna lead us out of hell and into heaven, but you ain't never been to hell or heaven, but you let me get this straight, brother. You read it in the book.
So you mean you got y'all out here seriously lecturing people in regards to saving their soul out of the same books that all of you done memorized in harmony?
Nigga, please. Nigga, please. You wrote it in the book. Now you got these people that call themselves Pastor T. They're memorizing all these books they read. Look up book so-and-so, and you can reference, it sounds so smart, and you can reference this book here, and it's in scroll number 5, and you're always going to... All in, they keep regurgitating all Paracletos like a prophet just repeating. They got all these books memorized and down. They got all these from book to book to book. But you, wait a minute, but you never died before and came back? You ain't never been off this planet? You never been to the bureau? You, you never been to hell. You don't know what heaven is like. You never been taken up. You haven't experienced these things. You can't even move a starship to move out. You don't know what you do. You read it in a book. I'm gonna tell you what you do, young fella, young sister. Do us all a favor. Get your fake ass down from there and get in the audience and raise your hand and start asking real questions so you can get some answers. Because you're not equipped or prepared to answer them. Next.
Exactly.
Yeah, you read it in a book, nigga. You read it in a book.
Thank you, sister, for asking that question again. I was going to prove it myself.
Each one.
You too, Brother Amon, for answering.
I love y'all. Now, see, that's what I love. Each one teach one. That's why these testimonies are so important, because every time you testify, you're teaching others. You know, a lot of people got a lot of fear of telling or testifying a bad witness to the truth. But the point of the matter is, that's what made you a fallen angel, and that you went whoring after false gods other than the creed. And you went to worshiping a wise angel with a very seductive speech. And you started worshiping that in place of God, the creator. And that's why he fell.
Just like Pandit Babianu said at the Athens Ball, ask those who know. He looked out seriously and said, you Nawabians in here are those fallen angels. The leader of the Nawabians said that to you all. And them niggas got quiet as a rat pissing on cotton. And the devil, Sim Goddard, leader of the fallen angels, got happier than a kitten following behind a leaking cow. Holy Tablets, chapter 11, tablet 13, verses 29 through 54, emphasis. On through 71, emphasis on 71. Then you'll be able to understand why the Holy Tablets and all our scriptures are off bounds. Not only because they're full of me, but because they're also full of relevant truth. You mean to tell me that you so under the spell, so asleep, that you actually believe that the actual facts in the Pottower Act, the way can be supported by the devil's hand book, the Bible? You ain't gonna make it. You mean you involved in something where you actually afraid to publicly voice your opinion about things you know to be wrong or to be right? Then whatever you involved in, it ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. That can be trusted.
And there's not so blind as he or she who refuses to see. What I don't like is the precious souls, the brothers and sisters that are among you, that have a pure heart and are searching for the real truth, that are under your spell. Shame on you. Release those people. Unbind them. I know it's true that to them, compared to Christianity, they think they found the light. But the truth is that if you give any thirsty person in spirit a glass of dirty water, if they're thirsty enough, they're going to drink it. But if you offer them a clean glass of water and put it next to it, what should they do? You all know, those of you that are thinking that this is a baton race, and it's got nothing to do with men. Again, Marcus Garvey came with what he had, and that was necessary. So did Martin Luther King, who was a saint. Elijah Poole, Elijah Muhammad was the third reincarnation, the personification of Elijah, the Tasman, and John the Baptist. And he did his job of taking people off heroin and straightening them up and giving them dignity and teaching them how to work in harmony and to build businesses and that they were gods and that the white man was the devil and Adam and Phineas. He taught them many things. And he completed his mission successfully. And when he was through, he had the dignity and the required assignment of informing the people that it was time to go to the man with the letter G, which is numerically Lamb 30. That was Malachi, my angel, Malika. To go to him, it was his turn. And to go to Malachi, and many of them that said they believed in Elijah, they went to Malachi. And they gained a lot from that, because Malachi was the most awesome and thorough teacher on this planet that I've ever met before in my life. And I tip my celestial hat to that. That angel did his job, which was for the first half hour from 1970 to 2000. But from 2000 to 2030, August 12th is my time to rule. That's from the mouth of Malachi Z. York. Look at the short video, let my words be known, and stop lying to yourself. Talk about you believe in him. Believe in him how? You believe he exists?
Them Negroes left behind in them suits with bean pies and bilal speak, claim they believe in Elijah. He dead now. Now, when Malachi told you it was Amun's time to rule, those of you that ain't moving because out of loyalty to the angel, well, then you disobeying the precepts and the commands of the Almighty Creator himself. You out of line. You out of line. Just like people that wouldn't move forward in his various schools. They still back there. Assalamu alaikum. Kimar Fu.